It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of Cole and Company underway. I am your host, Cole Bear. Hope you're having an outstanding day. It is October 24 of 2023. And like usual, an ambitious agenda laid out for today's program. Details forthcoming. First things first, thanks so much for being here. However you are tuned in, you have a number of options. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you're following us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X, at RealColeBear. I told myself I would stop, like, saying things and making jokes about X, but just, like, when I say I'm on X, like, I do realize that there's that ecstasy that's a drug, and people call it X. Like, I've watched enough of those intervention shows, and I feel like in some sense of the word, it's like saying that you're on drugs. I mean, just what a silly name change. Damn it, Elon. Yeah, I've wasted too many seconds of this show talking about your silly name change of Twitter to X. I'm on X. Hey, I'm on X. Follow me at Real Colbert. I don't mean drugs. I'm on Twitter at Real Colbert. Or if you want to call it X, fine, we'll call it X. But, oh, good Lord. Yeah, follow me at Real Colbert. Follow the station at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Facebook. Well, follow the station on Facebook. You don't want to follow me. I don't really do anything on there other than run the station Facebook feed. Just a little social media goes a long ways for yours truly, to put it simply. But by all means, like our Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan, and you'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports into your Facebook feed. And bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. That's where you get all sorts of local and statewide sports content, as well as national sports content. You get audio on demand, including today's Waterloo Blackhawks Minute, the podcast of this show, a whole lot more. Bookmark it. Visit on a regular, make it a daily basis. You won't regret it. And if you want to connect with the show, you got a few options. You can, of course, tweet at me or tweet at 1650KCNZ or post at me on X. You can send us a Facebook message. You can dial us up, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918. Or you can dial 800-913-9479 or email the show. Email Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up today on the program, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we will take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. Then come back in segment number two and be joined by the voice, the play-by-play voice of Iowa State Cyclones football. John Walters will join the show. Last week was a bye week for the Cyclones, so out of the kindness of my heart, I know he would have joined if I asked, but I know how it goes, man. It's crazy when you do this for a living. And when it's a bye week, I wanted to give John a bye week from the program. So he will join us now that the Cyclones are back in action this Saturday on the road at Baylor. That's a game you'll be able to hear over on Cruising KCFI. Coverage begins at 12:30 Saturday, kickoff at 2:30. Another big game in the Big 12, the closely contested Big 12, and the Cyclones need to go on the road and get a W against the Bears if they want to continue to stay near the top of this Big 12 race. So John will join us and look back at that really impressive 30-10 win the week before last at Cincinnati and what was the first matchup between the two programs in each of their respective school histories. And, of course, we'll look ahead to this Saturday's game at Baylor. And if time permits, we'll talk a little Iowa State men's basketball. 2 weeks from yesterday is going to be the Cyclone men's basketball home opener, season opener, against Green Bay on, what is that, Monday the 6th. Monday the 6th. And, of course, you'll be able to hear it right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 The Fan. So plenty to talk about when John Walters of the Cyclone Sports Network joins us in the next segment of today's show. After we're done with John, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, come back on the other side of that break in segment number 3, and hear audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley. Typically, we would bring that to you in the third segment of Monday's show, but yesterday had UNI Men's Basketball Media Day audio that I brought you. If you missed it, I would encourage you, go check it out on the podcast available at 1650thefan.com. Coach Farley also met the media yesterday to talk about the Panthers. Just really, really impressive. 27-0 upset win on homecoming last Saturday over then number 9 North Dakota. The Panthers back out on the road for another tough Valley game at Illinois State this Saturday. That's going to be a noon kick. So that's an 11 a.m. pregame over on 93.5 The Mix with J.W. Cox and Scott Peterson. We'll hear from Coach Farley on the impressive win over the Fighting Hawks, what this team's got to do to keep growing, and what they got to do to beat the Redbirds. That's coming up in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Tuesday and wrap up the show. All right, last night, you heard it right here, Monday Night Football on the Fan. The Minnesota Vikings, Mark Simpson's Vikings, got a 22-17 win over a beat-up San Francisco 49ers team. The Niners missing some really important pieces of their team, and now they've lost two in a row. And it's just the nature of the beast of how many people, how much noise by nature of that gets created in the NFL. But, and I'm not like pulling a punch on the Dan Patrick show, but DP and the Danettes, just like anybody else, speaking generally, have talked plenty about Brock Purdy. And this morning, DP was like, wait, that's Brock Purdy, the guy who was an MVP candidate 2 weeks ago. And I understand the nuance of what Dan is saying there, because Dan's coming from the place of probably shouldn't have really been much of a discussion that Brock Purdy was a, you know, speculative MVP candidate even 2 weeks ago when everything was looking up and rosy for the 49ers. The trouble is that the commentary, the quote-unquote analysis of Brock Purdy and the 49ers, and just this is the phenomenon within the NFL particularly, not that it doesn't exist at some level in college football, but it's either got to be, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. How cool is this? Here's why it's awesome. Here's why it's cool. Here's why it's great. Or here's why this isn't very good. Here's why this is bad. Here's why this guy isn't good. Here's why this guy sucks. Too infrequently is there any room in between. Or if that is the narrative, if that's all it can be, the narrative, well, then that's not good for ratings. That's not good for clicks. That's not good for impressions. And to me, I would say that for the most part, even when Brock Purdy still had his streak intact of consecutive regular season wins, it's not like he was going to win them all until he retired, of course, right? And he plays for a really good team that's got a really good coach, a really good coaching staff. And it's like, you know what? Maybe he's just a better than good, not great at least yet, quarterback. Plays within the scheme, can make some plays that transcend the scheme from time to time, and that's that. But the hyperbole machine, one way or the other, never shuts off, especially in the NFL. And so after last night's game, a game that Minnesota absolutely had to have, they were at home, the Niners were beat up, Purdy and the Niners take another loss, their second in a row. I'm just not here for the spectrum debate or the spectrum analysis. It's either great or it sucks. And we know too much about Brock Purdy to know that probably not going to end up being a Hall of Famer, but looks like could be Hall of Very Good, you know, right there in the middle. But that's not good for ratings. That's not good for clicks. So there it is, a little critique of the NFL media as it relates to one Brock Purdy. Not that he's by any means the only one who falls victim to this sort of approach, if you will. But the Niners are going to be just fine. Not that I'm telling anybody who's paying attention to the NFL anything they don't know, but Brock and the Niners will be just fine. All right, let's go ahead and dive right in here. The high school volleyball postseason continued last night. Regional semifinal matches in Class 1A and 2A. In 2A matches involving area teams, Denver downed Waterloo Columbus Catholic in four sets. Dyke New Hartford swept Ogden. Appleton Parkersburg outlasted Central Springs in five sets. Sumner Fredericksburg swept Bellevue. Wapsie Valley got past Dyersville Beckman in five sets. And Grundy Center swept Hudson. In Class 1A area matches, Janesville swept Starmont. St. Ansgar slipped past Tripola in five sets. And Don Bosco swept Wapello. Burst into the state volleyball tournament up for grabs tonight. Regional final matches taking place in Class 5A, 4A, and 3A. In area matches involving 5A teams, Parametro teams facing off tonight. Cedar Falls playing host to Waterloo West. Tigers 33-6 this season. Wahawks looking for the upset. They are 17-16. Meanwhile, Class 4A, Waverly Shell Rock plays at Cedar Rapids Xavier. And in 3A, Union is at home against West Delaware. All those matches start at 7. Regional final volleyball matches take place tomorrow in Class 2A and 1A. In 2A area matches, Dyke New Hartford goes against ACGC at Nevada. Appleton Parkersburg faces South Hardin at Cedar Falls. Sumner Fredericksburg plays Wapsie Valley at Waterloo West. Denver meets West Branch at Union LaPorte City. And Grundy Center battles West Burlington at Williamsburg. In 1A regional finals, Janesville takes on St. Ansgar at Charles City, and Don Bosco plays North Tama at Vinton Shellsburg. The final Radio Iowa High School football poll for classes 5A, 4A, and 3A have been released. In 5A, Cedar Falls finishes up a spot this final week, wraps up the season ranked number 6. The Tigers, of course, take on number 7, Cedar Rapids Kennedy, in the first round of the 5A playoffs this Friday. Listen to that game on Cruisin' KCFI. Pregame show with Dave Finnegan begins at 6:20, kickoff at 7. UNI left tackle Jared Penning has been named to the Missouri Valley Football Conference's Offensive Lineman of the Week. Penning anchored a strong performance by UNI in its 27-0 upset win over then number 9 North Dakota. His blocking up front helped the UNI offense rack up 402 total yards and 20 first downs. UNI volleyball player Emily Holterhouse has been named the Missouri Valley Conference's Offensive Player of the Week. She played a big role as the Panthers recorded a trio of road wins to remain undefeated in the Valley. The senior outside hitter recorded 18 kills in a four-set win at Drake on Monday, then picked up 18 more as the Panthers won in a sweep at Belmont on Friday. Capped off the big week with the season-high 20 kills in a four-set win at Murray State on Saturday. In that match, Holterhouse became just the sixth UNI player to record her 1,500th kill. Holterhouse and the Panthers returned to action Friday, hosting Illinois State. For the first time in program history, UNI women's basketball, the preseason favorite, In the Missouri Valley Conference's preseason poll, the Panthers returned 8 of their top 10 scorers from last season that finished 3rd in the MVC. You and I received 33 of 48 first-place votes. Drake picked to finish 2nd, Illinois State 3rd. You and I junior forward Grace Buffelli named the preseason MVC Player of the Year. Last year, Buffelli averaged 16 points and 9 rebounds a game. Along with junior guard Maya McDermott, they were both named to the MVC All-Conference preseason first team. Also a first for the UNI women's basketball team, the Panthers' home game against Iowa on November 12th has been sold out, becoming the first sellout at the McLeod Center for a UNI women's basketball game in school history. The Wartburg women's basketball team has been picked to win the American Rivers Conference in the league's preseason poll. Wartburg the favorite after winning the regular season conference championship a season ago en route to an NCAA tournament run that ended in the Sweet 16. The Knights received 8 out of 9 first-place votes. Wartburg returns 4 all-conference players from last year, including American Rivers Conference MVP guard Sarah Faber. Wartburg senior quarterback Niall McLaughlin has been named the American River Conference Player of the Week. He led the Knights to a 62-7 win over Loras on Saturday. Playing just the first half, he was 16 of 26 for 252 yards and 5 touchdowns. The third-ranked Knights are at home this Saturday against Central. Meanwhile, the Wartburg men's and women's soccer teams host Buena Vista tonight in American Rivers Conference play. This evening's matches will be regular season finales for the Knights. The men's game kicked off at the top of the hour at 5. Women's game follows at 7:30. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. We'll also get you a forecast for the rest of this Tuesday and looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back. We'll talk to the voice of Iowa State football, John Walters, joins us next right here on The Fan.
The Cedar Falls School District would like to take this opportunity to congratulate the boys' golf team's strong finish at the Mississippi Valley Conference meet at Airport National Golf Course in Cedar Rapids last month. Tigers tied for 3rd place with a 267. Special recognition going out to Evan Schofield, who finished 2nd with a 63. Schofield was also awarded 1st Team All-Conference, while 2nd Team All-Conference titles went to Anthony Galvin and Drew Larimer. Honorable mention went out to Graham Bremner. The Cedar Falls School's Mission of Excellence covers all areas of the student experience, from academic to athletic and beyond. The Cedar Falls School District is committed to a tradition of excellence. Moreover, upholding their tradition of excellence is a product of the collaboration between our families, our community, and our schools. Cedar Falls Tigers, you're amazing. We're so proud of you. Go Tigers!
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's Betting Splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com.
Chicago Bulls open up the season tomorrow night at home with the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Bulls are the 1-point favorite, 228 the total at United Center. At the NFL on Sunday, it's the Chicago Bears, an 8.5-point underdog at the Los Angeles Chargers, 46.5 the total. The Kansas City Chiefs laying 8 at the Denver Broncos, 45.5 the total there. Line has flipped in the Iowa State-Baylor matchup in Waco on Saturday. The Cyclones went from a 1.5-point underdog to a 1.5-point favorite, 47.5 the total at McLean Stadium. Iowa off until next week when they host Northwestern at Kinnick State. For the latest sports betting news and information, go to VSIN.com. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
My father bought my mother one of those weapons-grade jackhammer massage guns. Have you seen these things? No training of any kind. My father just aimed it at my mother's shoulder and hit the trigger. Wasn't good. It just gathered up her skin like pancake batter.
From What a Joke with Papa and Fortune and a scene on Netflix, Tom Papa Live in his 2023 comedy tour. Friday, November 3rd, the Gallagher Blue Dorn. Tickets are on sale now at gbpac.com.
So, this date was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for dinner.
For sure. For sure. Not really sure why I'm playing with my keys. I literally took an Uber here.
Oh, me too.
Wow.
Can I buy you a round?
Start the night out right. Because you can't drive drunk if you don't drive there. Decide to ride. This message is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber. Copyright 2022, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Monsi Bolaños.
The NFL Network is reporting that the Arizona Cardinals are placing three-time Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz on injured reserve with a quad strain that he suffered during their game on Sunday. The plan is for him to return this season. No practice today for Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill because of his ankle injury. Head coach Mike Vrabel says that if Tannehill can't play Week 8, he anticipates both Malik Willis and Will Levis playing against the Falcons. Game 7 tonight in the NLCS between the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. It all starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time. This is the first Game 7 in Phillies history. In other baseball news, according to The Athletic, the San Francisco Giants are planning to hire Bob Melvin as their new manager. And the regular season of the NBA tips off tonight with a doubleheader. It all starts with the defending champions, the Nuggets hosting the Lakers at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, followed by the Suns taking on the Warriors.
You're listening to The Fan, the official station for Cyclone Nation.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows level off around 60. South winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 70. Cloudy. Cloudy again. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely. 61. Chance for scattered storms Thursday. Chance for scattered showers on Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 71.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. It was a bye week last week for the Iowa State Cyclones, coming off of a 30-10 win at Cincinnati. Next up this Saturday, the Cyclones go to Texas to take on the Baylor Bears. And joining us now, the play-by-play voice of those Iowa State Cyclones, John Walters, kind enough to join us. John, thanks so much for being here. Hope you enjoyed the bye week. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Cole?
I'm doing well. I continue to be quite intrigued by this Big 12 conference because it's just like it's really like it has been in years past, you know, John, where, of course, Oklahoma and Texas are flexing their muscles. Then again, there's a handful of other teams that are scratching and clawing, continuing to play a part in how this very well could shake out yet. And the Cyclones, for as much as it didn't look like they would be one of those teams capable of scratching and clawing to have something to say, they've righted the ship. And ever really since that Ohio loss and, you know, that win, 30-10 at Cincinnati the weekend before last, man, that was impressive. I mean, just thinking back on it, John, what's still front of mind for you when the Cyclones got the best of the Bearcats?
I think they really played well in all three phases of the game. And that was probably the most complete game that they've played so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that was a really good win. You know, and obviously Baylor went in there and won this past Saturday, so it's a strange set of circumstances when both teams are coming off a win at Cincinnati in their last game. But, you know, I thought Iowa State played well, and you're right, they have righted the ship, and they've got three really good wins right now. You know, you look at the way Oklahoma State's played since they left Ames, they've been really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, to beat TCU, which played in the national championship game a year ago, to beat Cincinnati and now have an opportunity to go 3-0 here in October if they can win at Baylor. You always want to play meaningful games in November. You know, we talk about that in basketball. You want meaningful games in March. You certainly want your November football games to have a lot of meaning to them. And, you know, say what you will, but Iowa State is in a position where they absolutely do control their own destiny right now as far as reaching the Big 12 championship game. If they win out, they'll be in it. So, you know, you couldn't ask for much more than that going into November. I realize that's a long shot, and you have some really big landmines out there with these final five games, but I love the way Iowa State's playing. I love the enthusiasm of this young group of guys, and you know, no, somebody forgot to tell them, you know, that they're not supposed to be very good because they're playing with a swagger to them. I really like the way they're playing, and I think they've got a great chance to go win this Saturday and keep it rolling.
I thought you finished that your thoughts perfectly, John, because I was going to mention, had it down to make a point to mention to you today that, at least for me, and I think I can speak for other people here, that call it the charm or whatever you want to call it of this team so far has been the progress that you've been able to see, you know, with your own two eyes over recent weeks.
I think so, and Matt Campbell brought that up, you know, early on in the season. He just said, you know, he goes, there's a lot of teams out there in college football. Which teams can continue to get better every week? Those are the ones that at the end of the year are going to be deemed a success. And we've seen this Iowa State team get better every week. You know, obviously the game at Ohio was a tough one. You had a bunch of guys sick. You didn't play well. You got beat. And that was tough. But I love the way that these guys have come back since then. And, you know, there's a lot of good football still to come from these guys, because when you think about how young they are, as they continue to get better and you see that growth before your eyes, you know that they're just scratching the surface. You know, I mean, you think about the linebackers. And, you know, at linebacker, you've got Gary Vaughn, who's a sixth-year senior. But beyond him, all the guys are freshmen or sophomores. Well, they struggled a little bit at the start of the season. I'll be the first to admit that. But I think that linebacking group has really come on. I thought Will McLaughlin had his best game at Cincinnati. Jack Sadowski, I thought, had his best game at Cincinnati. We're starting to see Zachary Lovett really develop into a pass-rushing threat. And obviously, obvious passing downs. Caleb Bacon has been a little bit of that, too, for Iowa State. And Cooper Ebel, guy from Hartley, is getting his opportunity to play now a little bit and playing well. And so, you know, it's just fun to see the growth before your eyes. And if that group can continue to get better and better, then all of a sudden you think, well, can Iowa State get back to being a really elite rush defense? You know, that's what's been missing, I think. And, you know, they're first in the Big 12 in passing defense. They're first in the Big 12 in total defense, once again. But their rush defense is a little bit behind. But I saw some real signs of that improving against Cincinnati. And I think that if Iowa State can continue to improve in the area of rush defense, well, then the sky really is the limit for this team. And I look forward to what they can do the rest of the year.
Perhaps that run defense very well a focus of the bye week, John. Anything else in what Coach Campbell has had to say, or any players, or just what you've gathered with what may well have been an emphasis of focus during the bye week, which typically when a bye week falls early enough and you're not simply trying to heal your team up, coaches like to call them work weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it was a work week in a lot of ways because they got out recruited a little bit and they were able to approach it that way. But, you know, Matt said today that their emphasis during the bye week was to continue to get better as a football team. He said it feels like, you know, they were really playing well. They can't afford to take their foot off the gas now. They had to get better last week, and he feels like they did get better last week. And so, you know, he's wary of the bye week because he said, and I don't know if this is true or not, but if he believes it and his players believe it, that's all that matters. And he said that 70% of the teams coming off their bye week lose in Power 5 football. And so, you know, if that's the case, well, that's certainly a strong indictment of, hey, we better get ourselves ready to go. And so we'll see, you know, how they come out and play early in this game. Baylor coming off a nice win at Cincinnati. They're coming back home. It's their homecoming game. They probably see this game as a real pivotal game for them in their season. But let's see if Iowa State can go punch them in the mouth first and get out to a lead in this game and see what they can do, because Baylor has really struggled in first halves of games. They've been outscored about 2-1 in first halves of games. So see if Iowa State can go down there, get a lead on the road, and then play with that lead for a while and see if they can finish it off down there. It'd be a great win if they can do it, but I think they've got a great chance.
John Walters, Iowa State football play-by-play voice of the Cyclone Sports Network, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at JW Cyclones TV. You'll hear John later tonight on the Cyclones Coaches Corner from 6:30 to 8 here on The Fan. John, while I'm bringing it up, what's on the itinerary tonight for the Coaches Corner?
We've got Jamie Pollard on in the first 45 minutes of the show. Then it'll be Matt Campbell and you know, looking forward to catching up with Jamie about, you know, they just announced this week the exciting new wrestling facility. That's going to be a top-notch place for the wrestling program to call home. Really excited to talk to him about that and a lot of other things going on in Iowa State Athletics. So it'll be a fun hour and a half. It'll fly by tonight.
Looking forward to it. One last thing on the bye week as it relates to the injury report. That typically can be a week in which you can get some of the troops back, albeit, to my knowledge, not that the Cyclones were too banged up. Anything notable with regard to that injury report after the benefit of a bye week?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing is that this team has stayed, and I'll knock on wood as I say it, hitting myself in the forehead, but they are they're relatively injury-free right now as a team. Now, that doesn't mean they haven't had some nagging stuff just like everybody has, and that's where the bye week really helps to just kind of get that extra dose of medicine to get back to feeling 100% for the home stretch, because these last five games are going to be really tough. They play some great teams, and so, you know, got to be geared up for it, totally ready to go, but man, so far so good as far as the health of this football team, and I think that's allowed them to do some of the things that they've done here in the last few weeks.
Just a couple more minutes left here with John Walters of the Cyclone Sports Network. John, Cyclones 4-3 overall, 3-1 in the Big 12, Baylor 3-4, 2-2 in the Big 12. Seemingly a win, especially when you mention homecoming happening in Waco, a win that Baylor sure feels like maybe not a must win, but got to have it for whatever splitting those hairs are worth. You mentioned the struggles the Bears have been having in the first half of games, a fast start key for the Cyclones, but what else should we know about these Bears and, you know, what's maybe the best version of them look like if that's what they're going to bring to the table Saturday?
Well, they're kind of an enigma. You know, it was 2 years ago that Baylor went 12-2 and won the Sugar Bowl over Mississippi and you know, won the Big 12 championship. That was just 2 years ago. And, you know, Dave Aranda was everybody's coach of the year. And, you know, last year they struggled a little bit, took a step back. And this year they've kind of struggled. They're very, very young. They're a lot like Iowa State in that regard. The number of freshmen, true freshmen, redshirt freshmen, and sophomores that'll be out on the field in this game will be very, very high for both teams. And so, you know, which team can avoid mistakes? You know, which team can avoid turnovers? Blake Shapen, their quarterback, they put a lot on his shoulders, probably more than is fair. You know, he missed three games with a sprained MCL, and he's come back. He's been really good since he's come back. You know, 7 minutes to go in the second quarter against Cincinnati before they ran their first running back run play. And they've just been putting it on Shapen's shoulders and saying, go throw us to wins. And he's capable of doing it. He did. They were winning at that point when that was the case against Cincinnati. But, you know, they have had a hard time establishing a ground game. And I think it's a pivotal thing in this game. I mean, Baylor has not been good defending the run or rushing the football. And for as long as I can remember in college football, those are two things you have to do well to really have a chance. Now, they've started to right the ship in a few areas, but that's an area where I think if Iowa State comes out of here with a 50-yard advantage in rushing offense over what Baylor's able to produce, I think it gives them a great chance to win the football game. And, you know, I think the opportunities will be there to break some big runs. I think the opportunities will be there to slow the Baylor run game, especially from the running back position. They did that very well against Cincinnati. Their running backs hardly had a thing in terms of yardage against Iowa State. Now, the quarterback did, Emory Jones, and this quarterback, Shapen, he can run too. But, you know, if you can shut down the running backs, man, you got a great, great chance to win this football game. So I like Iowa State's chances. I know that they're a slight underdog. That's fine. They've been an underdog every week other than you and I. They're probably going to continue to be an underdog every week. That's fine. But they've won their share, and I think they've got a great chance to win again this Saturday.
When it comes to Iowa State being an underdog, John, we had our VSiN Action update before putting you on this segment, and Iowa State opened as an underdog, but that line has changed. Cyclones are now a favorite in Waco, for what it's worth.
Okay, well, I guess I can't play that card then. You know, that's fine. Whatever they are, it's basically a toss-up game.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's viewed, and that probably should be the way it's viewed. Baylor's won the last couple down there against Iowa State. They've always been tight games. They've always been close, whether they've been here or there. And I expect it to be another tight game for sure. But I think Iowa State's got a great chance. I mean, you know, they're playing really well right now. And I think they go in there and probably a little more sure of how they're playing than Baylor is of how it's playing. I think Baylor still, even with the win at Cincinnati, there's still some uncertainty about some things they're doing. And so I think Iowa State goes into this thing that should go in with a lot of confidence that they can go win this football game.
We'll look forward to your call on Saturday, John, and we'll look forward to the Cyclone Coach's Corner tonight. As always, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me, Cole.
John Walters, Cyclone Sports Network, kind enough, as always, to join us here on The Fan. Yeah, Cyclones going on the road to Waco to take on the Baylor Bears this Saturday. That'll be on Cruising KCFI. Pre-game coverage begins at 12:30 Saturday, kickoff at 2:30. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk UNI football next. Audio from Coach Mark Farley coming up. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa State returns from its bye week in the thick of the Big 12 chase as the Cyclones get ready to visit Baylor. ISU's won three of its last four, and at 3-1 in conference play, it's part of a four-way logjam in second.
70% of Power 5 football teams lose coming out of the bye, and so I think it's a huge challenge to our team, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, I think part of that challenge is, you're in such a routine and a rhythm that you can get off rhythm, and I didn't want that to happen to this team.
That's Coach Matt Campbell. Baylor's 2-2 in the Big 12, 3-4 overall. The Cyclones will be in search of their first win in Waco since 2017. For the first time in program history, the UNI women's basketball team is the preseason favorite in the Missouri Valley race. The Panthers return their top three scorers from last year's ball club that finished 23-10 and third in conference play. Last season's Valley Tournament champion Drake is picked to finish second. This is Radio Iowa.
So why do I need vaccinations?
If I don't get vaccinated, how sick could I get?
Can I get multiple vaccines at once?
What's done to make sure vaccines are safe?
It's important to address your concerns about vaccines. Just make sure to get answers from people you can trust, not from a social post or an opinion on the internet. Instead, ask your healthcare provider about vaccinations, because they know you, and they'll always put your health first. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
The Shirt Shack in Cedar Falls, super fast and super good. The Shirt Shack can put your business's logo on t-shirts, polos, quarter zips, sweatshirts, hats, and more. They're also the number one place to go to get your team shirts from youth to high school sports. And get it fast. Turnarounds generally just 3 to 5 business days after approval. Take a look at everything they have to offer at ShirtShackIA.com. The Shirt Shack in Cedar Falls.
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football. ACC foes collide in Raleigh as the NC State Wolfpack hosts the Clemson Tigers. Hi, this is TJ Reeves. Join Steve Berline and me for all the action as Cade Klubnik and the Tigers battle it out with Brennan Armstrong and the Wolfpack. It's Clemson and NC State in ACC action. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
Coverage begins at 12:30 right here on The Fan.
Get 11% off everything at Menards. Stable Starting Fluid is an aerosol spray that guarantees a faster start in gasoline and diesel engines. Its heavy-duty formula inhibits corrosion and lubricates upper cylinders. An 11-ounce can is just $2.99 after rebate. Keep your carburetor clean with a can of Stable Carbon Choke Cleaner. Also just $2.99 after 11% off. Good through October 29th. Savings are mailing rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Fall is here, and there is something for everyone at the Family YMCA. Register now for youth dance and flag football. Swim lessons begin at the end of the month. Before and after school programs are ramping up. Taekwondo is available for all ages and abilities. 40-plus fitness classes per week to meet your athletic level. Free wellness orientations to get you started in the right direction. The Family YMCA, strengthening the foundations of our community.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Yeah, welcome back. My apologies. Meant to bring this up at the top of the show. I got on my Brock Purdy soapbox there and got all verklempt and couldn't remember, but meant to announce the week one Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em Frenzy winner today. Full disclosure, just had a little bit of a back-end issue with the website. Everything's good now. All your picks are still recorded. Maybe I was worried just for a little bit that they weren't, but we've got a crack web team, and everything's there. And by nature of just getting that fixed throughout the day today, didn't quite have the time to get everybody's picks tabulated because we had such great response. We had so many participants. So first thing tomorrow morning, I'm going to get in here. I'm going to add everything up. We will announce the winner of week one. Now, that being said, week two picks are available to be made online at the website, 1650thefan.com. That's out on our Facebook. It's out on our Twitter. That's why you got to like and follow us there on our social media pages so you are aware of that. I've already seen some people making their picks. Week two, Ultimate Pigskin Frenzy Picks, easier said than done there, are available to be made now. So get to the website, 1650thefan.com. Want to continue to have everybody that made picks in week one continue to make them all 6 weeks. It is by all means worth it. Go to the website, 1650thefan.com, and make sure you have those in before I leave here at 6 on Thursday. Got to get them in before Thursday night football. So once I leave here on Thursday, I pull them, and basically that's your deadline, Thursday at 6 o'clock. So get them in. There you go. That's the latest on Pick'em. All right, UNI football coach Mark Farley met the media yesterday. To recap, the Panthers, oh, geez, what did I screw that up bad? Holy cow, I lost my Farley audio that I had up here. Hold on, I can find it. But UNI coach Mark Farley met the media, and I tell you what here, just because I've invented my own train wreck, we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick above the noise commentary. We'll come back for a final time, and I will have Coach Farley audio prepared for you. I promise it'll be here. That's coming up next on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. We're back right after this.
I'm Andrew Siciliano with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Vikings stunned the 49ers 22-17 on Monday Night Football. Kirk Cousins threw two touchdowns, both to rookie wide receiver Jordan Addison. And Brock Purdy tosses two late interceptions as the Niners have now lost two straight. Meanwhile, Christian McCaffrey runs for a score, catches another, 16th consecutive game with at least one scrimmage touchdown. That is the most in NFL history. In other news, the Eagles get former All-Pro safety Kevin Byard from the Titans in exchange for a fifth and a sixth, and safety Terrell Edmonds. And the NFL has suspended Broncos safety Kareem Jackson 4 games without pay for another violation of the unnecessary roughness rules. The suspension comes after Jackson was DQ'd for the second time this season in Sunday's win over the Packers. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
It's Macy's Friends and Family, with early deals on everything you need to get ready for the holidays, like an extra 30% off brands that rarely go on sale with your coupon or Macy's card. And take 15% off fragrance, skincare, makeup, and more great beauty gift ideas, now at Macy's. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices, exclusions apply. Find something so you at Macy's Friends and Family.
Looking for bigger, bolder, better yields? Look no further than FS Seed. FS Envision Seed Corn and FS High Soy Soybeans are here to change the game. Our seed products deliver winning results every single time. Your local FS crop specialist is ready to take your farm and yields to the next level. Ready to change the game with bin-busting yields at harvest? Reach out to your local FS retailer or visit fsseed.com.
Every day, we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss.
Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. In the NFL, touchdowns get you noticed, but the league isn't a popularity contest. It's about winning. And the Vikings beating the Niners at their own game last night was a perfect example of what dominant line play can do for a team. Minnesota held San Francisco's furious pass rush at bay all night long. No sacks. That allowed Kirk Cousins to throw for over 375 yards and two touchdowns. The dominant play in the trenches continued on the defensive side of the ball. The team held Christian McCaffrey to just 45 yards rushing, averaging 3 yards per carry, allowing just 65 total rushing yards. And the team's persistent pressure on Brock Purdy led to two interceptions. Skilled position players like the Vikings' Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson will still receive most of the praise for the win last night. The two pass catchers combined for over 200 yards receiving, but championships are won by the guys with their hands in the dirt. Last night, that was a perfect example why. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. If you like using debit over credit, don't you think it's time you also got rewarded? Well, now you can with Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cash back on everyday purchases. Plus, you're not charged any account fees, period. Whether you're moving, starting a new job, or headed into that next stage of your life, whatever it is, Discover Cashback Debit is for everyone. Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC. Buy a seat for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, and chances are you won't use all of it, just the edge. Because that's where the experience will have you, on the edge of your seat to witness the brightest stars from around the world, on the edge of your seat for the long shots, the upsets, and an experience that's truly a breed apart. November 3rd and 4th at Santa Anita Park, they'll come from around the globe to keep you on the edge of your seat. You can get your tickets today at BreedersCup.com.
We're going to skate to one song only.
You're listening to Cole and Company on The Fan in the Cedar Valley at 102.3 FM and across Eastern Iowa at 1650 AM.
All right, we're back. I have since recovered said audio. Yes, you and I football coach Mark Farley met the media yesterday. And after the past two games that included a lopsided loss at top-ranked South Dakota State, and then the 27-0 shutout win over number 9 North Dakota on homecoming this past Friday, I asked Coach Farley, what's next for this team in terms of moving forward? Just not my day. Now, the audio player doesn't want to work. Let's try this again. I asked Coach Farley, what's next for this team moving forward?
They just need to be consistent. They need to start, just be consistent in what we're working with. And they are, but you know, the consistency that I'm talking about is the error or the mistakes of the young mistakes. It's not they're making mistakes. Call it what you want. The word I'm looking for, I'm not quite sure. All I know is, when you have youth at some areas, they tend to get out of position to make the play. And it's a consistency to stay in position so we can coach to your strength and have that consistency in play calls, because we're playing to them more so than we're playing to a scheme. And when they play that and they're consistent doing that, we can make the adjustments to make it work for them. And I think that's a credit to the coaching staff. You hear all this moving around. I mean, you can only do this, what I did on this game, with only so many coaching staffs, because they really got to understand it to really get them segmented where they can learn that quickly, what we did last week. So fortunately, we had the staff to accommodate what we did as well.
The story of Amari Pesek Hickson continued to grow yesterday. The running back turned linebacker, turned back to a running back, earned the Missouri Valley Football Conference's Offensive Player of the Week award for his 31-carry, 180-yard, one-touchdown performance in Saturday's homecoming win. Here's Coach Farley on Pesek Hickson.
There's a story behind the story on Amari, and he was a running back when he first came in here. That's what he came from at Kansas. And then last year when we had you know, Dom and Vance being running backs, we moved him because he is a good athlete, moved him to linebacker. And I think through his discipline of defense and moving him back to offense, it made him have the kind of day that he had yesterday, because tremendous athlete, but instinctively what he did as a running back after only working there from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday was tremendous, and he deserved to be the Missouri Player of the Week.
Saturday's win also included personnel adjustments on defense, which paid dividends given the fact that the Panthers, of course, shut out the then ninth-ranked Fighting Hawks.
I saw a consistency. I saw a group that worked together. You know, what was actually surprising, I didn't see that one big play, but what I saw is a group of 11 guys in making plays, the group of 11. So when that was probably the most pleasing, when I saw the unit play as a unit, because, you know, when you do things, you got to funnel the quarterback, keep him in the pocket, funnel him to your rush to get your sacks. We did that up front. You got to have the coverage to get the sacks, and yet you have to have the pressure to get the intercepts. And that combination of things was going on the way it should, and ultimately we had the results we did.
One of the more notable and seemingly impactful personnel moves on defense was putting Edwin Dearman back at nickel after having played the first six games of the season at safety. I asked Coach Farley yesterday if he thought that particular change immediately paid dividends.
It did. And the move, quite frankly, is that when we moved Amari out of the nickel position, and then we were short at the nickel. And we've worked these things before, but that had to put Edwin at the nickel and move. That's when we move Josiah to the will. And all those dominoes happened because of Amari moving over to running back. So you had to create the depth on defense. If something should happen at one position, you know, early in the game, you got to be prepared for that. So that was the piece of the puzzle that we moved. So there's a lot going on last week from start to finish, as far as not just offensively and Amari. That was easy to see. It was all the things that went into that to make that happen.
When it comes to the injury report, Coach Farley officially ruled running back Harrison Baybui out for the season. Meanwhile, starting running back Ty Edwards remains questionable, as does linebacker Ben Belkin. Defensive end Cordarius Bailey, who left in the first quarter of Saturday's game, is probable, according to Coach Farley, for Saturday's game at Illinois State.
Yeah, I think Cordarius is. We'll find out tomorrow, but I think Cordarius is something that we can come back and play this week with, you know, just by what I'm hearing and seeing right now coming off Sunday and early Monday here. So, but no, he went down, but I think that's something we'll get back by this week. What I really like.
And then also, ask Coach Farley, speaking of the brighter side of an injury report, wide receiver and former Cedar Falls Tigers standout Logan Wolf has been steadily putting together a productive season. He's currently second among all of UNI's wide receivers in yards. He's also been added as the punt returner. I think that was week three when that started. I asked Coach Farley about Wolf, the former Tiger, who has battled injuries throughout his career, but seemingly is the healthiest he's been this particular season.
What I really like is what's still out there. There's a lot of meat left on that bone. And I think what you're seeing is Logan getting more confident every week too, because what he came off of is, you know, every time he got up to full speed, something would happen. So I think he's actually getting faster and better because of his confidence now that he's staying healthy. And that only builds on somebody who's been through what he's been through. So I'm excited for what the possibility is, because I know he's still not even tapped. I seriously know that there's more in there than even what he's performing right now, because I've seen it. We just haven't seen it in a couple of years, but each day I see a little bit more, and it's more the confidence that's bringing it out more so than anything else, probably.
With the Panthers just back inside the top 25 of this week's Stats Perform poll at number 23, despite sitting alone in second of the Valley with three conference peers remaining ahead of them in that poll, Coach Farley was asked for his thoughts on the FCS's top 25 polls.
I'm the first one to tell you on the FCS polls are ridiculous. There's not a... Be careful with my words. The FCS polls are not very consistent. It's guys reading a paper, scores. They haven't seen a game, and it's all perception of what a score is, and you kind of compare stuff. I mean, it's not like the BCS polls where everybody's watching the games on TV and certain guys are doing it and they watch every game. FCS, we're reading the paper. So you guys, if you write stuff, in the right way, then the polls go up. If you write them the wrong way, the polls go down. It's all driven by news that they read and see and the perception they gain from it more than it is the game itself. That's why there's no sense worrying about that stuff, and especially in this league. This league will prove out the way it's supposed to just by playing in the league. I mean, it's already shaken up right now just because of the games that are played. There's another big one this week. South Dakota's playing South Dakota State this weekend, right? I mean, just go down the – it'll all change. Give it another 4 weeks, and it'll all shake out. But I don't get too worked up because our schedule is different the first three games of the season than anybody else's. That's why we've always had the number one or number two strongest schedule in the country for the last 7-8 years, okay? Good or bad, it is what it is, and that's why it kind of – water over the dam for me. It's like I'm used to it.
Good stuff from Coach Farley there. There you have it, the latest from the Panthers head coach. You and I on the road this Saturday taking on a good Illinois State team that is 4-3, just like the Panthers, but 2-2 in Valley play. Kickoff of that one is at noon on Saturday. That'll be an 11 a.m. pregame over on 93.5 The Mix. That's a wrap for a Tuesday. Got to thank John Walters of the Cyclone Sports Network. You'll hear John coming up in a little over a half hour's time with the Cyclone Coaches Corner, AD Jamie Pollard, football coach Matt Campbell joining. Stay tuned. Have a great night. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.